through the silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us, it rips so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a cold of silence and it can't go on.
Hi folks, I am Alan Watts and we're cutting through the matrix on Thursday the 4th of March 2010. For newcomers out there, look into cuttingthroughthematrix.com website, scroll down and you'll see all the other official sites listed. Bookmark them for future use because sometimes the main com site goes down. And the official sites are cuttingthroughthematrix.net, .us, .ca, .com of course. And what cuttingthroughthematrix.ca, there's cuttingthroughthematrix.org, and there's also cuttingthrough.jenkins.com. And there's also two mirror sites as well, which you'll see on the front page there. And the tin can moment comes right after this because I shake the tin can. It's quiet because there's nothing much in it. And that's up to you to keep me going because this is probably one of the, maybe the only show out there where I don't get paid by the advertisers. I could if I wanted to, but I'd rather have to bring people on as guests and so on. And you'd be listening to maybe an ad for a whole hour without realizing it. But I've decided to go the other way. The ads you hear in the show are paid by the advertisers straight to RBN for the airtime. That pays their staff and their bills and equipment and all that other stuff which we hate doing ourselves. So you can keep me going by going to cuttingthroughthematrix.com website, see what I have for sale, the discs, the books, and so on. And you can pay from the U.S. to Canada with personal check. You can also use an international postal money order from your post office if you wish. And I stress international, don't walk out with the green one, that's internal only. You can also use PayPal for purchasing or donating. If you want to purchase, send a separate email to me with your order, along with the PayPal donation. You can use cash, that gets through as well. And there's MoneyGram and Western Union. Outside America, same deal. Western Union, MoneyGram, cash, or you can send a PayPal donation dash order. It's up to you. And for those who get the disc burned and passed with them to play on their CD players within their computers, which I still think is a fairly temporary thing, at least as far as freedom of speech goes, you can get in touch with me at Alan Watt, Site 41, Box 4, Estaire, Ontario, Canada. And the postal code is P for Peter, number 3, E for Elizabeth, number 4, N for Nora, and number 1, P, 3, E, 4, N, 1. And that will get to me. I'm always talking about reality as something that people think they're in, but seldom are. And even people who should know better often fall back into the red herrings that are put out there for them to chase after. You know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, people in the U.S. especially, who were rather vigilant, a lot of people were still vigilant while the rest were sleeping and consuming, they had so many ways to keep in touch with each other. Today, the Patriot community would hang out the white flags if the internet went down. I'm not kidding you. You don't need anything else happening. Just the internet going down, and out comes a white flag outside their windows. It's all over for them. It's astonishing. Astonishing how we adapt until we're utterly helpless. And we can't think of anything else to do. And we forget all the other ways of communication that's been around for such an awful long time. And when people are going frantic when they read things like Obama can shut down the internet in a national emergency, well, so what? If you're so dependent on the internet and you think that is freedom, then you're already gone. You're already gone. The internet's out there for the elite to serve themselves, not to serve you. Back with more after these messages. Hi, this is Alan Watts, and we're cutting through the matrix. Just reminding people to use their heads and not to be run by fear There's an old saying that if you can't handle the truth, don't look for it. And it's very, very true, because the truth can be rather harsh, and if you allow yourself to be afraid of it, then it will floor you, it will put you into a neurosis or a static state where you're sitting shivering underneath the kitchen table, and that's not where you want to be. And don't let yourself be sidetracked by people who just scare the bejesus out you and sort of leave it at that. Handle the truth. Handle the truth. And if anyone's sitting outside your door right now and some black government truck or whatever ready to blast you out to some of the rooms, then don't worry about it. You've been living this long, and this new world order has been going on before you were born. It was happening before your parents were born. Every part, every stage is just a part of the next phase. All pre-planned, of course, including the takedown. But you've got to be able to handle the bad news, and you don't panic at the first headlines that come out there that Obama can shut down the internet, and then you hang out the white flags in front of your apartments or your houses because it's suddenly all over. You can't type to someone anymore. What a shame. I don't know what your predecessors would have done. There's no plan B, C, D, or E. It's just astonishing how people have become addicted to the internet, and they can't figure out any other way to communicate to each other if anything should happen. Astonishing. To me, that's astonishing. But it's a bad news will always come along. Always come along. And the most you can do is take what's relevant, what isn't so relevant to you, and prepare day by day, week by week, and so on for yourself and those that you love, basically, to get through bad times. That's the best you can honestly do. Because we're up against the most organized system that's ever existed on planet Earth. Totally integrated with each other through academia, through countless think tanks, foundations, and organizations, all working with the governments. And we don't put the government officials into power. The big boys do. See, democracy never, ever existed. It was a great con while it lasted. And democracy, to an extent, can give you how they're using you, of course, because people are always used. And Charles Galton Darwin is quite right when he said in his own book that people have always been slaves in one form or another. And we're simply creating a more sophisticated form of slavery. That was democracy with its taxation. And during a productive period where you're going to build up the economy, use your tax money for projects abroad or wars to take over the planet, they allow you to drive old junker cars with rust in it and so on. The cops stay off your back during that period. You get your cheap cigarettes and cheap booze. You get your cheap entertainment. No one bothers you. You can live in a nice shack somewhere, and there's no official coming up to measure it and saying you can't live there. It's not good for the local surrounding area and the plants and the wildlife. You didn't get that then. It's only after your usefulness is over for that part and have completed their mission and have taken all your industry from you, they don't need you anymore. And that's when they say, my goodness, we're pulling the old junker off the road because there's a hole there and carbon monoxide might get through. And here you are talking to the cop through an open window. But what is that? What's that space there that you're talking through? And then they crush your car and all the rest of it. And up there your smokes because they don't want you to smoke anymore. And so on and so on and so on. If you notice, China is going through the industrial phase, and the peasantry there, just like the peasantry everywhere else, is allowed cheap smokes and lots of fun and that kind of stuff too. And they can drive their old junkers without being annoyed by squads of cops on the roads. This is a system we live through. A system. And believe me, a lot of people do crack up when they put the information that gets thrown out there, and they cannot discern what is real, what is fake, or what's meant to immobilize you with fear and terror. They can't distinguish eventually. I read an article just a few days ago where a couple with two children had committed suicide and killed one of their children, shot the other one two or three times, but it survived the baby, because they believed the mainstream media was telling them that it's going to be a hopeless future of global warming and desertification and no forests and and all that kind of stuff. That's what drove them to that, listening to that stuff. They were right into environmentalism. They believed every bit of propaganda that was pumped into them. And it's the same thing, too, when we get into trying to fight the evil that's all around the world. You have to discern what's real, what isn't, what you can do about something, what you can't. And you don't allow yourself to be crushed and panicked by the stuff that's thrown at you on a daily basis. Remember now, the perception of things have changed drastically, since they gave us the internet. Again, mainly to monitor us and classify all of us, their daily activities. It must be predictable in a totalitarian society. That's why you've got it. But it also gives you news from all over the planet. And the world isn't changing. You might hear about a tsunami here or an earthquake there, but that's always happened down through history. But when you hear this stuff coming at you, it's, oh my God, the world's collapsing, it's caving in on itself, everything's going crazy, blah, 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 blah. Because you've got access to more data and information than you ever had before. But in the Middle Ages, it wouldn't matter if there was 10 volcanoes went up and 15 Pacific islands sunk under them. You never heard about it, so you wouldn't be worried about it. And media makes a great deal about this kind of stuff, trying to scare the bejesus out of you. And for a lot of people, it works. I've been through as best I can all of this agenda by giving you the official documents from the official people who are helping working it into being. And you know, most people would rather look at something else than look and study the dry material that comes from governments or it comes from their main helpers and think tanks. They're aligned with their agenda and phases, 5, 10, 15, 50-year plans, 100-year plans. I give you all these links and so on for the PDFs that they churn out of the think tanks for the governments. We see how it's been implemented stage by stage by stage. We've gone through this. I went through this years ago, and I keep doing it up to the present. The people are so easily sidetracked with really, really purposefully put out their trivia that sidelines you off into terror land. Now, government has counterintelligence out there. They have their teams that will hack your computers and so on, but most of their job is in counterintelligence. And they will leak stuff out there to the public. I read about it before, but the budget for some of the military colleges and so on that are dealing with this, and their budgets are putting out false information. And they'll put them out under different names, different organizations that don't even exist, and then it's repeated off in mainstream news or Patriot News. And you'll prattle it, and before you know it, it's blown out of all proportion, it's working very well. Everyone's mind is collapsing, and they're crippled with terror and fear. Always be wary of the data that you allow to come into your brain. You are the guardian of your own brain. No one else's. And believe you me, the brain is such an important thing. Governments have put billions of dollars of research into how to control your brain. From basic psychology, basic through psychic driving and repetition of terror, over and over and over again, using slogans of terror. And I've also used electromagnetic fields and things like that. I've read the books by Brzezinski that he churned out in the 70s to do with the technotronic era and how they would try and control whole continents with their emotions or their behavior by the use of technotronic techniques. These are the things that's been put out from the top that are real. Because your money went into it, your tax money went into it. There's an article here, and I mentioned this years ago, about televisions, just basic televisions, to show you that from the very beginning they knew about what they could do to your mind, apart from all the rubbish they put on there. These are patents here, a US patent. This one here is January 14th, 2003. It's one of many, I'm sure. And it's one of the more recent, and I'm sure there's much, much older ones in the same area. Nervous system all day long, and you wonder why you're getting terrified. Be back with more after this break. Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt, and we're cutting through the matrix. That patent I just read was actually applied for in 2001. As I say, whatever is applied to the patent office, 3 years generally obsolete because the big boys at the top, much higher up in the military industrial complex, believe you me, already have that stuff working very effectively. It's interesting, too, the articles I've read in the past to do with Microsoft, even with their helmets and computer interfaces, where these helmets can, the little sensors can manipulate or just basically probe your brain, the cortex, your brain, and work in conjunction with your thoughts. Supposedly that's where they're working. And at the same time, Microsoft, in one of its own little releases, admitted that they're using some laptops, for instance, working on laptops that had the same kind of technology built into the frame around the screen, so you wouldn't need the helmet. So this stuff is old. But apart from that, about 2 years ago, I think it was, I read an article from the Pentagon on its weaponized forms of killer viruses, not to kill the computer, although they can certainly fry it, but to actually work the signals of your body in such a way that your blood vessels could narrow so quickly, and because they understand the language of what turns on and off your system via the eyes, just the eyes itself even, and they can actually cause a stroke. There's a Pentagon paper release. So be careful with all this stuff. Be careful too much time you spend in front of the box there, whether it's a TV or the computers. Then you see teachers across the U.S. Manipulating the laptops they're given to the children because they're free. They're free, and everybody grabs them. You know, if it was a cyanide dressed up as a new age bonbon, sugar bonbon candy, and they said it's free, everybody would take it. But that's how far gone the public are. A mouse has got more caution approaching a trap trying to get the cheese than we have anymore. This is free and we run like a herd. Oof, gone. Next thing you know, the teachers are looking into the children's, watching them at home. How long has that been going on for? How long has that been going on for? Do you think government doesn't do the same thing through your computers? Apart from the stuff they have admitted to, the screws, the stuff I've talked about on the radio, from their own findings from universities that are given access to your computer data, amongst the various intelligence agencies that are given complete access to all your data on a daily basis as they study you. Not just that. They're doing other things as well, obviously. Technotronic warfare, it was called technotronic. Now it's all under the field of neuroscience. And I'll put this patent link up for you to look at yourself after the show. All these articles I always put up on my site, then ExploreNet, the satellite upload factors, allow me to place dial-up speed for high speed. That's what they call high speed. And if you use too much of it, but they claim it's too much, they put you right down until you're below dial-up speed. That's the wonders of modern technology. It's also the wonders of what they can do to you when they don't like you very much. Now, we're run by think tanks. Governments don't come to the public to see what the public want. That's an idea that we're given with democracy. They somehow come to ask us what we want. I don't think that ever really happens, except when governments allow NGOs in that work for the foundations that demand things and get what they want. They're allowed inside it. But we're run by think tanks and special think tanks at a very high level. There's stuff with academics that are pulled out often of university before they even qualify because they're brighter than the rest in a particular area, a particular speciality. An example is the Foresight, another one that advises the governments, including Britain. They just released a report, the Foresight report. And the site here says Foresight's role is to help government think systematically about the future. Did you know that these characters come forward, vote Labour, and you'll vote Lib that, do they? Why don't they go up for election? You see, it's a, democracy is a farce. Politics is a complete farce. So here is, here's one of the many the governments are working with. The role is to help government think systematically about the future. It says we use the latest scientific and other evidence combined with future analysis to tackle complex issues and help policymakers make decisions affecting our future. Our work makes a critical contribution to meeting important challenges of the 21st century, and here they go, such as food security, because there's going to be rationing coming down the road, flooding is another thing, and obesity. Obesity comes in with this, and of course they won't tell you why that's lumped in with this. There are two kits there and networks. The links are all here. You can look into them. But you look down, you scroll down to see what they're really up to. They did a two-year study involving over 300 experts and subjects ranging from ecology, economics, planning, and geography, and it outlined a new approach to managing the UK, for instance, land, and it would be vital to meet the challenge of the 21st century. There's a whole bunch of things down here, from land use, global food and farming futures, global environmental migration. We expect people to start moving out if they start to think there's going to be all I have to say is it's going to be dry for the next 20 years in the country. That's all I have to say. Hype it up. Let me believe anything. And mass migration will occur. That's how stupid the people are. Back with more after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watts. We're cutting through the matrix, bringing some reality back into life by showing the simplicity of the techniques that are really used. Because most things really are pretty simple, and there are sciences which deal with managing the masses, as they call them, the great masses, and then categories of different people within the masses, their own sub-masses and so on. These are old, old sciences, well understood and taught in academia. But they've always said that, you see, in a true democracy, it would be always hard for a true democracy to stand for any length of time, because countries which are not democratic can put things into gear very quickly, get a whole nation mobilized into whatever they want them to do very quickly, because they're obedient in a totalitarian society, whereas a democracy has to coerce and cajole and humor the public to go along with, and they need to do a lot of propaganda over a long period of time to make it happen. That's why the Club of Rome, in their book, The First Global Revolution, said that of all the systems they looked at, communism, socialism, which is really communism, collectivism, and so on, the most they favored was collectivism for the future. And that is what we're going under now. They said the world will be post-democratic, and we are. That's when you must get in the heavy hand of government, because people will obey, and that's why they chose a war scenario. A war on terror fitted the bill, and a war of men against nature and environment was the reason for it as well. That would also fit the bill. They said that themselves in their own book, and I've quoted it so many times I'm pretty well sick of it. But we are easily managed. Getting back to the totalitarian systems, it's far easier for them. That's why the UN picked China as a model state for the world to emulate, not just with their one child per family policy, mandatory abortion and all the rest of it, for more, but for the whole way of living over in China. They're a mass man in China, mass people. And in totalitarian regimes, you must give them an exciting future. It's always something in the distant future, but you're all working together towards it. That's exactly what they brought in to us in the West now. We're all in a warfare scenario. We've got to prove together we're all one working towards a common cause, and we must all sacrifice. That's what totalitarianism lives on and feeds on. That's just the way of its modus operandi. This article here shows you how they can do things much quicker in China WWF advocates a low carbon life among women. Now here it goes. It's so socialistic, the terminology they use. You have to read it for yourself to see how they phrase things. Remember that Lenin himself said we shall win by the use of slogans, the repetition of slogans, psychic driving. It says the old China Women's Federation, the Civilization Office of the Central Communist Party Committee, and the National Development and Reform Commission have jointly pushed for energy conservation and emission reduction community action by calling out a low-carbon family and fashionable life activity this year. Low-carbon family and fashionable life is a slogan, which they use over there, it's in quotation marks. Listen to all the organizations, eh? The National Development and Reform Commission, the Energy Conservation and Emission Reduction Community Action Society, so on, by carrying out a low-carbon family and fashionable life activity this year. Slogans, gets them right into action. Activities are to be held by women and within households nationwide to promote a low-carbon lifestyle, to spread low-carbon awareness, and to encourage families to live a green life of low energy, low emission, low expense, and low cost. Each household is encouraged to live a green life. Oh, they went from red to green, which is the sacred color of communism. Red is for the revolutionary part. So as to form a lifestyle and a consumption pattern that conserves energy and product but protects the environment. Families are to contribute their efforts to the development of an economy based on green energy, low carbon output, and recycling. Activities to be carried out in China's 31 provinces, autonomous regions, municipalities, and Xinjiang for production and construction corridor, that is, and Xinjiang production and construction corps. Launching ceremonies will be held at the capital of each local administration administrative region. If you realize how this is all synchronized together, just do this and it's done. You just shout from the top and they'll run it in the action. The launching ceremony in Beijing will indicate the start of the activity. An activity will make an appeal to all families to live a low-carbon lifestyle. Posters will be put up, banners will be hung high, leaflets will be distributed amongst the participants. They're also pushing for a low-meat diet and to grow more veggies, which, of course, is the agenda here as well. GMO, of course. There's all the different tips at the bottom for the women. It's great, too, how they can split. See, the societies which are totalitarian split the men and the women up. They split them up and they create an organization out of one and an organization out of the other. They also split the children from the parents psychologically through education. They sever the ties and get the more upgraded education indoctrination. And they're also separate with their own mandate to follow out. That's the beauty of having a totalitarian regime. It's so quick and easy to do. Here with the left and the western with lies and politicians that pretend to shout to each other or at each other and all the rest of it and go through the motions. And then the representatives you think they elected come back and tell you that they can't do much because they must vote with the party and all that stuff. They go through these silly, ridiculous routines all the time. Meanwhile, the bureaucracies are running the countries, as they always have. And the politicians come and go and come and go and come and go. And they sign whatever's put in front of them. Sign this, right, okay. That's the real life. That's what life is really all about. We're cajoled and conned and humoured. Now, the International Monetary Fund, I've said this so many times again too, was set up to, along with the United Nations, to become a global power. Everything was to be centralized, first through nations under the communistic techniques, centralize all power, centralize all money power, and then between the countries you make treaties, you centralize them into regions, and then you centralize them into the United Nations. That's what the whole deal was, if you read your books about the founding, the setting up, and the purpose of the United Nations, with all of its many branches. The International Monetary Fund chief pushes for more power and a new global currency. That was Saturday, February 27, 2010, from Raw Story. The International Monetary Fund wants more power to police the global financial system and a bigger role in emergency financing, Manager-Director Dominique Strauss-Kahn said Friday. In a speech to the Bretton Woods Committee, a finance reform think tank in Washington, D.C., or another private think tank, he claimed that a stronger IMF also wants a new global reserve currency that would serve as an alternative to the US dollar. But they keep repeating this, no, get what they want. Strauss-Kahn said such an asset could be similar to, but distinctly different from, the IMF special drawing rights, or SDRs, as they call them, special drawing rights. Accounting unit that countries use to hold funds within the IMF, ABC News reported, is based on a basket of major currencies. Monday, the fund might even be called upon to provide a globally issued reserve asset similar to, but in important respects different from, the SDR, he said. It said, too, that having several suppliers of reserve assets would limit the extent to which the international monetary system as a whole depends on the policies and conditions of a single, albeit dominant, country. And it goes on and on and on, with more and more and more. China and Moscow support such a plan, it says, but U.S. leaders have vehemently insisted that empowering the IMF special drawing rights or establish another fund with a global pool similar to the dollar is not necessary. Well, they have to say that to keep the pundits in the U.S. voting, you know. And that's the reality of it, too. Centralization is the key to all totalitarianism, and the worst totalitarianism is global. Global. When you're all global living in their tyranny, you have no other country to compare yourself with. You understand that? In the past, people knew how bad it was in different countries. And you go, my goodness, we didn't want to end up like that. So you have something to give you an example. Once you're all global, you have no examples left. You'll think that anything is normal. Anything at all. We already do. Look at all the things that have been crammed down our throats since 2001 for the new century. That's why they picked 21. The new century. The century of change, they called it, for 50 years in academia before 2001. The coming century of change. Change is good. Change is good. Crap. Vote for me. Quack, quack. People don't even know what they're living through. Now, totalitarianism is the new method, you see, under collectivism or communism or socialism. You can call it what you want. It's all the same thing, really. And you find here that the head of the economic union, the president that just put in there, that the people didn't put in, in fact, he's selected secretly, apparently, like everything else they do there in this beautiful new Sovietized European Union, this region, he's now finding people who criticize him. The politicians politicians can't criticize and put a show on to each other as they criticize each other and without getting fined. Then you know you're under a straight-faced totalitarian regime. This article is from the European Voice, second to the third, 2010. European Parliament President Jerzy Buzek has fined Nigel Farage, leader of the UK Independence Party, member of the European Parliament, £3,000. £3,000 is not to be sniffed at, as punishment for an unparliamentary and insulting comments he made about Herman Van Rompuy, president of the European Council. This is the same council, by the way, where one of the top guys said about a year and a half ago, he said that if you criticize the EU, if any citizen criticizes the economic union and the parliament, that was akin to heresy. Heresy was the word they used in the newspapers. His Buzek's office confirmed that the president had fined Farage the maximum he could by withholding 10 days' worth of daily attendance allowances at £300 a day under the parliament's code of conduct rules. Jeez, that's not bad, eh? $3,000. £3,000. The fine was imposed. Now you know why they don't do much in that parliament, eh? The fine was imposed hours after Farage refused to apologise formally for his comments, which had been heavily criticised by other MEPs. This was despite a direct request to do so by Buzek. A spoken British member of European Parliament described Van Rompuy to his face as having the charisma of a damp rag and the appearance of a low-grade bank clerk, which is true. Which is true. That's what he looks like. He's got as much charisma as H.G. Wells did. And H.G. Wells, when he talked to the Fabian Club, he used to get laughed at by the people there. Mind you, the Webbs were even worse. Sabine Beatrice Webb. She Belgium is pretty much a non-country. I cannot accept this sort of behavior in the European Parliament, Buzek said, adding that he was disappointed by Brugge's conduct and his refusal to apologize. Now, as I say, politicians can't say what they want because that was standard fare for the circus for the public in Britain. And he's a British member of the European Parliament over there doing what you normally do in Britain. But it's fair Britain because you're in a new system now. You're in a totalitarian system. And the members of the European Parliament have no powers anyway. They can't even vote on laws or anything. They're there for show. It's worked out to get an average, I think it was a 20 minutes per year each to speak. That's the farce. To keep the public happy, you know, your politician would get 20 minutes out the whole year to say something after blowing his nose and so on. Now, things are getting so bad now, and it's so beautiful too that they know how far gone we are at the top, psychologically, as opposed to people 50 years ago. It came to common sense and stuff. To do with perception management. But as we go down the tubes and shops close down and there's got things happening all over the Western world, what are they doing to pretend that things are still okay? This is from the Mail Online. It says that the deli, that's for window shoppers only, fake shop fronts built to cover up high store streets that have been closed down. The 4th of March 2010. As high streets are decimated by the recession, fake businesses and facades have been installed to create the illusion that shops are still occupied. North Tyneside Council is trialling the new window treatment that at first glance gives the impression that units are occupied. The crumbling facade of a vacant clothing store in the centre of Whitley Bay has made way for a smart shop front with the question, delicatessen, question mark, and close by, this retail space could be yours. The same approach is being considered for empty premises in North Shields and the Wells End. So that's Britain's answer to depression and bankruptcy, is to con the public by making things appear normal so you'll feel better. Because see, well, we've been taught to be consumers, so if it still appears that things aren't run down and things are still moving, then we'll feel okay. This is really beyond Pavlov. I hope you understand that the minds are reading all this stuff up for us. And if they fool you with that, and they treat like children, then they know they can fool people, that's why they're doing it. Yeah, we become children. But what else is an illusion? It says we need to ensure that the remaining businesses continue to survive, and that means ensuring your high street looks as attractive as possible to both shoppers and potential business investors. It's a simple and cost-effective approach that keeps the retail unit available for potential new users and in the meantime also contributes to the street scene. Isn't that wonderful, eh? Isn't that wonderful? And here we are, watching and living through all this farce. And people are worried, as I say, about the internet going down. What will they do? The world has come to an end. A complete and utter end. Makes you wonder, eh? Now, the totalitarian regime, and the one we're in is definitely totalitarian with all of its communist rules, what to say, what to think, what not to think. But these are the techniques they use to inhibit you from thinking about certain things, put fail-safes in the mind. This is how we describe it in psychology, how they can condition people to put a fail-safe there. And they actually used techniques that they'd studied by people who were deeply religious. Someone who was deeply religious, if they were going into an area of thought, it could potentially be a sin, they veered away from it. The same techniques are now used about what's politically correct. And that's what they're using. And I'll explain this after I come back from this break.
And be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm Alan Watts. We're cutting through the matrix, talking about how socialism, communism, whatever you might call it, works, or a totalitarian movement, really, how it really works on a mass level. And indoctrination is very important, and we know exactly how to bring in them all, and the media is always all on board with them at all steps of the upgrading, and that's what they're doing, upgrading you all the time, right down to what you think, what you say. You're not allowed to discover anything for yourself and form your own opinion anymore. That's verboten. We're all standardized. We're all the same. Just like that China article I read recently. That's what we are. We're all the same. And here's where it's going now with the indoctrination and the inability to allow individuality or self-expression to come out at all. It's like, again, it's where the whole world is going, because Britain is the flagship for this. Mail Online, this is this. 1st of March 2010, heads will be forced to list, as the heads of schools, be forced to list children as young as five on school hate registers over every playground insults. Even minor incidents must be recorded as examples of serious bullying and details kept on a database until the people leave secondary school. They'll never leave the database. Teachers are to be told, teachers are, this is the same teachers in Britain that are so happy to drug the children. Now, not all teachers are bad, especially the older ones that have lived through and saw the stuff coming in. But a lot of the young ones are all gung-ho because they've been brought up thinking it's quite normal to drug children. Teachers are to be told that even if a primary school child uses homophobic or racist words without knowing their meaning. Now, these children are watching movies and stuff all the time, and if you want to hear stuff, you get all through the movies and so on. And they parrot them. All the swear words and even the sexual stuff. So if they parrot this stuff without knowing their meaning, simply teaching them such words are hurtful and inappropriate is not enough. Instead, the incidents are to be recorded on his or her behavior and all her behavior monitored for future signs of hate bullying. The accusations will also be recorded in databases held by councils and made available to Whitehall at the government and ministers to help them devise future anti-bullying campaigns. So the same something is now called deserved bullying. The scale of the effort to stop children using homophobic or racist language was revealed after the parents of a 10-year-old primary school. Let us give you one example as donor of abortion. In Somerset, Peter Drury was told that his name would be put on register and his behaviour monitored while he remained at school. The boy was reported that after he called a friend gay boy, his parents fear the record of homophobic bullying will count against him throughout his school career and even into adulthood. Another incident last year, 6-year-old girl, Sharona Gower, was reported for racist bullying at her school near Tunbridge Wells in Kent. It's such a farcical thing because, you see, every nationality that comes into this school, there's enough of them. From enough places, they all form their own cliques right away. Their own little gangs. That's what they do. You know, I would speak about it, and you're supposed to have any opinion of yourself or for yourself. You're supposed to take the standard, politically correct opinion for everything. That's the world we're into. Totalitarianism, brought by the leading country for world democracy, Great Britain. Now, I don't know if there's any callers because my page didn't go up tonight to see, but I'll be back tomorrow night again. So from Hamish, myself, from Ontario, Canada. And before I say this, good night and your God is also with you, I should also say, take the data, be empowered by the data, overcome your fear, and you'll feel much stronger. Back tomorrow night.